Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, that should be pretty easy to find. Genesis chapter 1. Today is Sunday, February the 15th, 2026. We're going to start by just reading the first verse in the Bible, God's very first communication, because we know that the scriptures are God-breathed, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the very first thing that God has revealed to us in his word is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What a statement. God is the creator of all of it. I've titled this morning's teaching, AI versus God. Now, I'm not going to spend very much time on the AI technology. What we're going to do in a few minutes is review some very important verses about God. Our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I'm sharing this because as technology continues to advance, and in our days pretty rapidly, things that we hear can and already are generating fear, uncertainty. You know, we're already getting to the point where there are times when we don't know if something is really true or not, right? I mean, not just from what people say. That's been going on since people were around. Is he telling the truth? Is he not telling the truth? Not just what we read. I think we've all read things that maybe someone else put out that we discovered were absolutely not true. But we're getting to the point now that there are things that we see with our own eyes that are absolutely false, not true. I'll give you an example. Do you guys know Mike Rowe? Some of you may have heard of him. He did the show Dirty Jobs. He's a good guy. He really promotes the trades, electricians, carpenters, things that have been like, oh, you know, don't do that. Get a college degree, sit in a cubicle, and have $500,000 worth of debt. That'll be a blessed life for you. But anyway, he promotes that. But I saw this video of him, and he said he had his laptop, and he turned it, and he said, look at this video. And on the video, it looked like Mike Rowe. And he was saying, you can get a free Yeti cooler. Now, if you know anything about the brand Yeti, it's a pretty high brand, and their coolers are super expensive. So he's showing this little 30-second video, looks like him, sounds like him, and he's just sitting there going, that's not me. That's not me. And so the ad just said, if you want a free Yeti cooler, you know, doesn't going to cost you anything. Just punch this and go to here. So at the end of it, he said, that's not me. They just generated that through, you know, the AI technology. And he said, my lawyers can't figure out where it's coming from. I've contacted Facebook. They don't know where it's coming from. Yeti's lawyers, they can't figure out. So that technology is here. And so, you know, that can be a little scaring. So the point I'm making is that we're in a time where we might look at something and not know if it's true or not, or if it's real. There's no question that some of the recent technology is very helpful. I can see my grandkids 2,000 miles away. I can see them, and we can interact by way of video phone or whatever you want to call that. You can take a picture and send it to someone anywhere in the world in a matter of seconds. A lot of the technology is kind of cool, like the meeting we're doing now with the technology. There are people that are not here, but they can, through the technology, you know, virtual meeting. You can do that audio, and we do it audio. Some people do it video. So there's a lot of things that are kind of cool. You might not be in favor of driverless cars. And then, of course, we hear on a pretty regular basis, the robots are coming. People can get a little apprehensive maybe about some of those things. We have all, most of us have become used to search engines, you know, like Google or DuckDuck or Bing or whatever those things are, where, you know, you search and you get articles or links or videos or pictures or whatever you get. There are some really good Bible programs. eSword is one of them. I know some people that use eSword. I like Blue Letter Bible. I've used that search program for a long time. In fact, I just found out that they've been doing that for 30 years. I'm like, wow, really? I don't know how long I've been using it, but it's a great Bible search program. There are all kinds of AI programs. There are chat bots where you can actually interact, ask questions, you know, type in your questions, and it gives you a response, kind of chats with you. I use one of those, and it's interesting to me that when you ask a question, the responses are personal rather than generic. You know, instead of it saying more information is needed, the typed response back would be something like, if you tell me more specifics, I can help you. That's interesting. I don't know if that's intentional to make it easier so you kind of feel comfortable with the machine. There is what's called, and you can, I mean, there's like so much information now that's going 50 different directions concerning AI. You can read about this and that. There's narrow AI, generative AI, and there's also the one that's getting more and more attention, what they call super AI, and which could have some very serious ethical implications, which in turn can generate fear. But no matter how smart man gets, no matter how smart the machines that man make are, God Almighty will always be far, far superior. And that's why in light of this AI that we're hearing about all the time, even more so, I thought we would be blessed to look into God's Word and look at some of our God, our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. And, you know, there's a lot of verses we could spend all day in the Bible looking at wonderful verses, but I'm hoping that this simple teaching this morning will help us all to stay on solid footing and keep our eyes on what God has to say and not get into fear, and not only today, but in the future as things continue to progress. That's why I wanted to start with that first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And something really important to remember is that there is a real enemy. And until Christ comes back, he is still in this world that we live in. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you know God does not sugarcoat who he is and what he does. God's word tells us that the enemy, the devil, our adversary, got a lot of names in the Bible, but God tells us he's like a roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. God's word tells us that he disguises himself as an angel of light. God's word tells us that he steals, kills, and destroys. And the very first mention of our enemy is here in Genesis in chapter 3. So if you would turn to chapter 3, and you're probably familiar that God just so blessed Adam and Eve, and they were there in the garden, and God said everything was very, very good, and they were so blessed. And God gave them one thing not to do. In 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 2:16, I said 3, we'll get there in a second. But in 2:16, God said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And in chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Is that what God said? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. No, that's not what God said. God said, freely eat Well, what difference does it make? Eat free. Well, it makes a lot of difference. If you were to tell me something and then I would say, well, Ed said this and I'm not saying it accurately, Ed might not like that, right? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, correct, neither shall you touch it. Well, now she's adding things. God didn't say anything about touching. She said, don't eat, lest you die. God says, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So she wasn't real strong on her scripture, was she? Not really. But then we get to verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil. To sum it up, the serpent, the devil, said, God is a liar. God lied to you. You cannot trust his word. And not only that, you don't even need God, because you are going to know good and evil. You'll know what's right and what's wrong. And that's the way a lot of people run their lives today, isn't it? I'll decide what's right for me. I'm glad that you like the Bible and you're a Christian and stuff, but I have my own religion and I'm a good person, and I'll decide for myself what's right and what's wrong. Jesus Christ said that the adversary is a liar and the father of it. And interesting, in the book of Revelation, it says he deceives the whole world. So that's important for us to remember all the time, whether there's AI or no AI, doesn't matter. And again, what I'm sharing this morning, whether it's AI or something else we may face, we don't have to live with fear. Rightly understanding what the scriptures say gives us the truth. Jesus Christ said, thy word is truth. So if we rightly understand the scriptures, if we don't take it out of context, if we don't misquote it, if we rightly understand what it says, then we're absolutely certain that we have the truth. We're going to go to Isaiah 40. I was blessed that Dan did that song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Nice lead up to some of these verses we're going to be reading, Dan. Thanks for doing that. If God, as we read, created the entire universe, we're going to Isaiah 40 here, and we don't even know how big it is. Nobody knows how big the universe is. Then how big is God if God created the whole universe? Will AI be able to create a universe? I don't think so. Is man that God designed capable of making a machine that's smarter than God? I don't think so. So we're going to read some wonderful verses this morning. Isaiah 40 is where we're landing, if I can ever find it. So God's asking some questions here, and we'll start in verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? All the waters of the earth, can you measure them in your hands? And meted out the heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weight, and weighed the mountains in scales. Have you ever done that? And the hills in a balance? Who's ever done that? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or been his counselor and taught him? Who taught God? These are obviously some rhetorical questions, right? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Who taught God? Nobody, obviously. Let's go down to verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? What are you going to compare God to? And then he goes on, we'll read it, but he's like, who are you going to compare God to? Oh, I see what you're doing. So now they're going to make idols.
The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts the silver change. He that's so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Oh, my goodness. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. You ever moved a curtain? Yeah, well, God stretches out the entire heavens like a curtain. Let me close the curtains. Oh, look at how magnificent God is. Stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. We're in verse 23. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. He's talking about the idols. They shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall blow upon them, and they'll wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. These great idols that people make and worship, and this is our gods now. They had such a hard time in the Old Testament with that, didn't they? Every time they turned around, God's people went back to idolatry. Let's make a nice idol, and well, this is God. God says, I'll just blow on it, knock it over. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. God has all the stars named. It says that in another place. We don't even know how many there are. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. Wow, isn't that humbling? No matter how smart we get, there's no searching of his understanding. It's so far above anything we could ever come up with. And then look at the love that God has. He gives power to the faint. Ever been faint? God's promised to give power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Look at chapter 45. And again, there's lots and lots of verses we could look at, but we're just looking at a few this morning to remind ourselves of how great and wonderful God is, to remind ourselves that we can trust God and that we don't have to fear anything. 45:18, I think is where we're going. For thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it, not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none other. And how do we get to the Lord God, there is no other? Through his word. He gave us his word so we could know him, so we could know who he is, what he's done, what he's promised, and put our trust in him. Nothing that man could ever produce could even come close to the great intelligence, wisdom, power of our wonderful God. Chapter 46, verse 4. This was on that sheet I had last week. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to your hoar hairs, that's gray hairs, will I carry you. I'll carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. Whether you're young or old, God will still take care of you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like?
Who are you going to compare?
No one. Well, then he goes on to talk. Well, let's read.
He talked about how great he was and how to take care of you, but look what you're doing. You're going to go make idols again.
Verse 6, they lavish gold of the bag. I have a bag of gold there. And they weigh silver in the balance. And then they hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They fall down. Yeah, they worship. They bear him on the shoulder.
They have to carry this god because this god can't go anywhere by himself. Got to carry him over here.
They carry him and then they set him in his place and he stands. From his place shall he not remove. No, he can't go anywhere. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble.
We got to move him over here, and now you can bow down and you can cry unto him, but he's not going to answer you anything. You know, God's saying, is this what you want for your God? I am God Almighty. I created the heavens and the earth. Who will you liken me unto? That?
Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure.
He is our wonderful, loving God. Look at Isaiah 55. All these things that we're reading, you know, about how great God is, the very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That should have been enough.
The patience that God has with us. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Love this. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Doesn't that remind you what it says in Timothy? All scripture is God-breathed.
God spoke his word into being. Holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. The scriptures that we have are God speaking to us. It's his word.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And now here again, look at God's great goodness, for you're going to go out with joy and be led forth with peace, not fear and anxiety. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle trees. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What a great God we have. Before we look at a couple of them in the New Testament, go to Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalm 89. This is the God we love and worship. Psalm 89, verse 6. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared or reverenced in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?
Great is thy faithfulness. We sing that song from time to time, don't we?
Go to Jeremiah chapter 5, and then we'll go to the New Testament and look at a couple. Jeremiah, right after Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22 says, fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence? which have placed, love this, placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it.
What God is saying is he set the sand and the oceans just don't come and completely cover the whole land. God set that up. I mean, how much water is in the oceans? What about when hurricanes come? You know, you get a hurricane over on the East Coast, Kansas doesn't get flooded. Isn't that something? He placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree. That's our wonderful God. Let's look at just a couple in the New Testament before we close out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Some of these, I'm sure, might be familiar to you. But we're looking at our wonderful, mighty, powerful God. God Almighty, the God we love and worship. A God we can put all of our trust in. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? We're in 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God, now God doesn't have any foolishness, but if he did, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God, if he had any, but he doesn't, the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. 3:19, for the wisdom of this world, or the wisdom of this age, is foolishness with God. In my mind, I picture a gigantic blackboard completely full of a mathematical problem that nobody understands, like maybe Einstein. And there it is. And God looks at that, and to him, it looks like 2 + 2 = 4. Nice job, Albert. Where are we at? What verse are we in? Oh, yeah, verse 19. The wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God. Compared to God, no matter how smart we get, for it's written, he take the wise in their own craftiness. Again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours. For whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. You're Christ and Christ is God's. We belong to God. No matter what comes, we are God's children. We belong to God. And one more before we get ready to close. Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11, 33. This is a dandy here in Romans. Everybody there? Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Sounds like what we read in Isaiah, doesn't it? Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or
who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Whom be glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah, right? There's a lot of other verses that we could look at concerning God's great power, deliverance, and you might know some, find some. Before we close in Isaiah again, I want to show you one other thing in Exodus 31, second book in the Bible. Exodus 31, if you would. How great God is. How egotistical man is. We're so smart. Oh, yes, we're smart. We got it all figured out. You know, throughout the Bible, we see men and women who walked with God in all kinds of circumstances. So many, many records. Why are those records in there? To embarrass us? To go, wow, I could ever be. They're in there to encourage us to trust God in any and all situations. You know, Moses followed God's instructions and led the children of Israel to the Red Sea, which was the absolute worst strategic place they could be when the Egyptian army was coming. Moses just said, okay, we'll go there. And then God parted the Red Sea for him. Pretty cool, right? Time and time again, we see God providing solutions for his people, regardless of circumstances, regardless of the odds. Remember when Elijah was public enemy number one? And then he was hanging out at the brook. God sent ravens to feed him. And then during those years of famine, he was with the widow and the food never ran out. How about David when he was public enemy number one and Saul was searching for him and how God just took care of him time and time again? When Daniel was in the lion's den, God just shut the lion's mouth. That was a good thing. Who would have thought of that? In the Gospels, remember that place in the Gospels where they took Jesus Christ and they were leading him off to a hill to throw him over? It says in the Scriptures he just walked through the crowd. Really something. All through the Bible we see the power of God and his solutions to help and deliver people. And the common denominator in that is that they had the Spirit of God. In Exodus 31 here, we're just going to read a couple of verses, but what had happened was, you know, they got across the Red Sea, now they're in the wilderness. You can start, I think it's around chapter 26, where God gave Moses specific instructions to build this tabernacle in the wilderness. Specific details. God didn't say, just pitch a tent, make sure it looks nice, and have a little. There's like five chapters of this needs to be this big, this gold, this linen, this altar, this, all of this information, detailed information. Well, who knows how to do all that stuff? Look at the plan. Chapter 31. And the Lord spake, now this is after Moses got all this information. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. I've called him. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. I saw video on YouTube recently, you know, it was accurate. It said that God gave this guy his spirit along with some others so they would know, how am I going to do this? What, with the Spirit of God, God just showed them what to do. God gave them the wisdom of what to do. Isn't that beautiful? And then it says, and behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom. How does God put wisdom? By way of the Spirit of God that's in him. That gives us the contact point with God. It's called revelation, where God can speak to you and tell you things. And they needed to be
get the wisdom. How do we work with this gold? How do we do this wood? I forget how many planks all the way around the tabernacle. It was just amazing. So, and then it goes on to talk about all the stuff that they were going to do there. But the point is, as born-again believers, according to God's word, we have the Spirit of God. God has given us His Spirit. It says in Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We as born-again believers not only have the Spirit of God in us, but as it says in Corinthians, and you know this, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every one of us. We all have the ability to operate all of the nine manifestations. God has given that. That give us an edge? Yes. Gives us a big edge. We're going to close in Isaiah 40. If you would turn there. We read it earlier. We're just going to read a couple verses. Isaiah 40. We have the Spirit of God. It's in us. I was talking to somebody yesterday and lives in the Midwest. I was just kind of checking on him the last time I talked to him about 2 months ago. So he told me, he said, yeah, he said, I had all this pain in my back and in my legs. It got so bad one night, I went to ER. He says the pain just kept getting worse and worse. So I guess they said it has something to do with the sciatica nerve, which is never pleasant, but it sounded like that was kind of extreme. And so he'd been dealing with that, and I guess it bothered him a lot at night. And so this was on a Saturday. There was a big fellowship coming up the next day with a lot of folks. And he was in bed in the middle of the night, and he said the pain was just like unbearable. And he asked God, who can I ask to pray for me? And he said it was clear as a bell who to ask. And next day he went to that fellowship and there she was. He said, would you pray for me? She happened to be a physical therapist. He told her all these issues going on and she prayed for him. He was instantly healed. All pain gone immediately. And he hadn't had any since, been a month and a half. God is still in the business of healing. God is still in the business of working in us, as it says, to will and do of His good pleasure. That so blessed me when I heard that, because God hasn't changed. And God is not a casual observer to your life. From afar. Oh, what's He doing? No. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 34 says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. God does not want us living in fear. And in 2 Chronicles 20, you can read about Hezekiah. They were surrounded by just a gigantic army. They were going to get wiped out. And part of his prayer to God was, we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. You ever been in that situation? I don't know what to do. But then, after he said, neither know we what to do, he said, but our eyes are upon thee. I'm looking to you, God, for a solution, because I have no resources to take care of this. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. And if you're familiar with that record, it was a great victory, an absolute great victory. You know, with the AI stuff, jobs are going to be lost. Some already are. That's really nothing new. As things develop and we get more modern, people lose jobs. That happens. My brother, older brother, worked for the railroad. I remember when some of the automation came in. Well, they gave him an option. You can take your retirement now or move to Omaha, Nebraska. And my older brother didn't want to move to Omaha, Nebraska. The same thing happened when I was in the radio field. You know, it used to be 24/7. There's live people behind the microphone. Not anymore. It's all automated. Most of it is. So whether it's AI or something else, a person loses their job. It's nothing new, but now what? God, that's what. God, I need your help. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. We can trust in our loving God. And again, we have a great advantage because God says we're his children, right? And he's put his spirit in us. What a great advantage we have. And not only that, but God said in his word that we are more than conquerors in every situation. You know, those are the thoughts we need to have in our head. It's not what happens to us, but what happens in us. And by that I mean no matter what we face today or in the future, we can choose to think thoughts of discouragement, fear, or we can choose to think the thoughts of what God says to us in his word and then believe him. Last week I taught on guard your heart. What we think about, the thoughts we have, lead to our decisions and choices. Our decisions and choices bring us to our actions. And our actions will always bring results. Good or bad, right or wrong, they will. This applies really to anything and everything, not just the uncertainty of the technology or the uncertainty of AI. It applies to anything. So no matter what we face, whether it's today or tomorrow, whatever comes our way, we don't have to live in fear at all. We can choose to trust our powerful God. Closing in Isaiah 40, we read part of this earlier, but fun to read this again. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives, God gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Regardless of where the technology goes or whatever challenges we face, we can absolutely choose to trust God. And we can trust his word, knowing that when we rightly understand this book, we will have the truth. Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that you've given to us, that we don't have to live in fear, but that, Father, we can absolutely trust you in every situation. And, Father, when we have needs, whatever those needs may be, mental, physical, financial, whatever, we can look to you because you are a God of solutions. You're a God that loves us. You are our God that made us your children and put your spirit in us. Father, may we believe that we have your spirit and that you can and will work in us to will and do of your good pleasure. And Father, may we also keep in the front of our mind that everything we see is all temporary. You are going to send your son back to gather us together. Until then, may we put all our trust in you. I pray for everyone who's here today. I pray, Father, for those on the hookup as well, and for those that may hear this teaching at another time. Thanks for the awesome privilege, Father, of sharing your word with your people. Thank you for being such a great, powerful, wonderful God, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.